Money FM 89.3, best of your money.
It is Friday, 27th of March, and yes, Singapore waking up to a huge budget. All through the show, I'm going to be looking at what the resilience budget means for you. They're going to be cash payouts to help pay for your bills and your household expenses. All adult Singaporeans will receive between $300 and $900, depending on their income level, up from the range of $100 to $300 originally announced weeks ago in the budget. And remember those passion card $100 top-ups for seniors announced earlier. It's cash in hand now. Singaporeans age 50 and above who were eligible for that one-off passion card top-up of $100 will now receive the amount directly in their designated bank account, highlighting the theme of direct help. What about families? If you're a freelancer, I'm going to have all the schemes that you need to look out for throughout the show. But first, what does that $48.4 billion resilience budget meant to save jobs, support workers and protect livelihoods mean for our restaurants? Wei Chan is Assistant Honorary Secretary of the Restaurant Association of Singapore. Wei Chan, good morning.
Good morning.
Can we have a sense of how your members have been coping so far? How have revenues dropped for some?
Well, revenues have dropped actually quite sharply. Members are facing 30 up to 80%. I would say maybe now 90%, depending on where your locations are.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So what is the Restaurants Association of Singapore's reaction to what's been described as a budget that prioritizes the three C's, cash flow, cost and credit?
Okay, I think the any packages from the government, it's always welcome, right? It's a bonus. Businesses have to help themselves. But unfortunately, in this whole cycle, where the business is, I will use the word that has been used out in the market, symbiotically tied to the tenants, to the landlords, the key play is still on the landlord. I think the landlord has to do something. Unfortunately, in this budget, fortunately, the budget allows for 100% property tax rebate. But unfortunately, the landlords to date has not been very forthcoming. And I think that is the part that we need to really look at it very, very carefully.
So we've seen people like SPH REIT say they will pass on fully the total property tax rebates. But you're saying so far your members are not seeing landlords come to the table?
Yes. After, I think there was a saga with RAS. And after RAS have been snooped and accused of its inability to comprehend the deals, I'm very inclined to study PR words more carefully now. And when I read the passages and when they say, oh, we are passing on the full property tax rebate, actually, landlords are not helping. They are merely being a messenger. They claim that they are with us, but they are not cutting a slice of meat from themselves. They are just merely being a messenger, sounds magnanimously passing this to you. And then they went on to cut their staff salary, which means next year when the profit goes up, they get a bigger bonus. You know, then the other part is some landlords will say, deferment, right? Now, let's read in between the lines. Deferment does not mean you don't need to pay. Unfortunately, now we are on a V-drop, or maybe a U model, the loss is already sustained by the tenants, which also means that at some point, right, the loss, we have to bear it, but you can defer your payment. They are just helping us with cash flow, but they are not helping us with the loss that we are facing, right? And this whole culture of indirect rebates, unfortunately, leads to all kinds of pattern permutations and gimmicks from the landlords. I think this is very disturbing. And I don't think that the landlords are staying with us in terms of this crisis. And I will pick, you know, some like phrases like McCarter's, which is NTUC. I think there's a particular mall that has been very, like Compass One, that is very stricken and no help is coming from them. These are all being picked up by RAS and also another informal group by the name of SG Turf. So that is something that we are very, very concerned of. And I think if you were to ask us, we will be very clear that the best thing that government could potentially help us is to instill that the landlords impose a 15% GTO for the next few months, 3 months or so, because we don't know how this COVID situation will last. And that would be very good, because then whatever we win, the landlords will win. Whatever we lose, the landlords are with us. I think that's the most fair model.
Wei Chang, what are your views on a mandated rent holiday for restaurants and retailers?
Well, I mean, rent holidays is always nice, but I think we have to be fair to the landlords as well, right? I mean, that's why we propose a GTO model. With the rent holiday means...
And for the listener who's not sure what that acronym means, what can you break it down for us?
Rent holiday means you pay no rent.
Acronym, was it GTO?
Oh, sorry, gross turnover.
Right.
Right, so which means you collect certain revenues and then you pay a certain percentage of the revenue to the landlord. At least the landlord do get some taking in, but that is subjected to our performance of the business. Now, if you look at the malls right now...
And this varies according to the leases that restaurants sign with the landlords, right? And it can vary the GTO anywhere from, what, a couple of percent to 7%?
Well, in the Restaurant Association perspective, we look at across the board and we feel that a 15% is reasonable because a lot of contracts are signed on a basic rental plus a GTO, and on the average, 15% is a reasonable one that we think should go forward with.
All right. Okay. Now, if we look at wage support, the F&B is going to get more than some other sectors when it comes to wage support. The enhanced job support scheme for F&B with a total 50% wage offset capped at a monthly wage of $4,600. Now, Wei Chan, is this going to be enough leverage to help restaurants through this reduction in business over the next few months and still keep people on payroll?
I think, once again, I repeat what I said. It's great that governments are giving this wage subsidies and support. We thank the government for it. But, however, if you look at real numbers, now we've got to break down. I always say the devil is in the details,
yes.
Right? What do we have? This cost relief is actually questionable because at this point in time, how many Singaporeans do the company have, and the frontline are mostly pass holders? So does it really bring about that? It's very subjective. It depends on the business model, you know. And of course, does that number cover the losses that we spoke about, 30 to 90%? And then with all these malls now having so-called restriction in terms of safe distancing, in terms of 16 square meter to one person, mm-hmm. The business is really, the losses is tremendous. It will be tremendous because there's limited customers coming through. Now, is that sufficient? That remains very questionable in my opinion.
All right. If we look at the budget, SMEs that require support beyond the TBLP can now continue to tap on the SME working capital loan. Broadly speaking, how easy has it been for your members to tap on existing schemes? I think most people, when they look at the budget, are grateful for more help. But as you say, the devil's in the details, and most are hoping that bureaucracy can be avoided. When it comes to experience so far, is there still room to improve in terms of ease of access of tapping on existing schemes?
I would say that our longest problem with this, it's been rolled out for quite some time. I mean, it's great that the quantum has been increased. But one key issue that has been bothering all of us is it's a government-backed, but somehow the banks are saying that we need a PG, personal guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So that is of concern, because if we can't make good of the repayment, does that mean we are sitting on the streets because we have a personal guarantee on it, right? Mm-hmm. And come back to the fundamentals again. It just doesn't make sense when you are taking a loan with interest and a personal guarantee just to feed the landlords,
right?
Because we're taking a loan on our personal capacity, but here we are, we're still facing the same problem with the landlords, right? We need to pay their the rentals, the maintenance, the AMP, you know, and not to mention, I think we need to prepare for rainy days too, because they're not going to let you go. You have a tenancy agreement with them.
Yes,
I think they're going to slap it on you.
Which brings me to the next point. You know, when it comes to working capital, it has been announced that MES will be working with banks and insurers to see how best to help businesses and individuals facing cash flow challenges and with their loan obligations and insurance premium payments, for example. No details have yet been announced, but we're looking to those details. I want to ask you, will changing the legal obligations to support the restructuring of financial obligations, say in supplier financing, for example, will this be important for your members?
I think it will. I think in this very extraordinary times, any little measures will help, especially with cash flow, you know. But the question lies is, what's the short term? Yes, we help with the cash flow. What's the midterm, right? Can we bring the business up? But what's the long-term effect? We have a loan outstanding to pay. So can our business recover? And what's the recovery model like? Is it a V or is it a U shape? Now, if it's a U shape, how long can we sustain? I think that's a very thing that every entrepreneur will be very concerned about.
All right. Before we let you go, your final message to landlords, perhaps, Wei Chan.
Well, I think people should be standing together, support each other. I think with strength and greed, I call the DPM Heng's message, and then we'll write this through together. But in the interim, I think it's the landlord's game right now to really step up, to be with us.
Thank you very much for joining us. He's Wei Chan, Assistant Honorary Secretary of the Restaurant Association of Singapore, which has some 500 members under its umbrella.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.